This is RSBNB Update, episode 257, recorded Thursday, May 20th, 2010. The Pinky Triumvirate. Hello, everybody. This week, we're here with Paul, PFK99s.
Hello.
And Mr. Pink, a.k.a. Alex, is going to be called that, because it's easier to say Alex than Mr. Pink.
Hey, guys.
He's from RSBNB Informer, and is going to be writing more gaming articles as time progresses. I should say the reason why Chief isn't here this week is he's volunteered this weekend to take part in something that people probably heard of, you might not have, called the 40-hour famine, in which he has to go, obviously, 40 hours without food intake, and has to go 40 hours without any technology whatsoever. So,
ouch.
That's why he's not here this week. And it was on his own will, accordingly. So, you know, it's questionable whether or not doing such a thing is yourself is going to actually bring a benefit to people in Africa, but we're not here to discuss that, because ultimately the fundraiser is what would bring the more money into Africa. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Good stuff.
So, anyways, no RS update this week. It's something that was communicated by AJD. Unfortunately, he gave us bad information last week. He said 1 week off for every 3 weeks of updates, but unfortunately, according to the scope of the recent updates, that's not the case, so they're taking another week off, which is interesting because it begs the question of what's coming and whether or not something that's coming will need maybe an engine update, which we already had last week with the DirectX options and whatnot.
Or we could just say they're lazy and leave it at that.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
I will. Okay.
That's what the kind of person who isn't informed on the lifestyle of software engineering would have to say. Anyways, the triumvirate. Is that how we'd say that? Triumvirate.
Triumvirate. You can add a little French spin on that.
You're French now, too?
Yeah.
Paul, how would you say that?
Tea thingy. Triumvirate, I guess. It's as phonetically as close as I'm going to get.
The triumvirate. Okay.
Triumvirate.
There we go. That makes sense.
Well, okay.
Triumvirate.
I think we get the idea now.
Yes.
But anyways, basically what this is it's like a special kind of house that you can align yourself with if you so choose to. It's a community game. There's no in-game mechanics for this. They have three of them, the Lords, the Judges, and the Reavers. The Lords are champions of order, nobility, and duty. The Judges are scholars of balance, wisdom, and neutrality. Meanwhile, the Reavers are rogues of chaos, change, and euthanism.
I can't say for certain where that comes from, but I'm almost positive that's from, not Serenity, that's,
Harry Potter with the houses?
No. Firefly. The show Firefly, it got canceled after a year. You don't know what Firefly is?
No, I don't.
It's like a really kind of geeky show.
What is it about? Well,
cowboys in space. Yes.
Sounds fun.
It was on Fox, and like all good things on Fox, it got canceled quickly. So.
That's what happens with TV in general. You know, anything that requires more than two brain cells to understand is canceled. So. Anyways, have you guys joined any of these, Paul, Alex?
To be honest, not yet, considering that I don't play RuneScape anymore.
Okay. Paul?
It looked kind of stupid to me, so honestly, no.
Okay. Which one would you join if you were going to join?
What was the middle one?
The judges?
Yes, that one.
Balance, wisdom, and neutrality.
Sounds like Guthix, kind of.
Yeah, that's right.
They just kind of rehashed the three gods, honestly, but sort of.
Alex?
I would probably go for the Reavers, considering that they're all about destruction, chaos, change. Kind of
okay.
Fits the evil profile.
I'd go with the Lords. Order, nobility, and duty. Which makes sense, you know? If there's no order, what's the point of... if there's no order, you might as well be, just wandering about being useless. So, anyways. Yeah, so... I don't know, the first thing I thought of these was Harry Potter, because you know they have the Harry Potter houses, whatever they are? Even though my Harry Potter experience ends at the first movie, so...
The first movie? You didn't say book?
Yes. No, I didn't. Aww. I didn't read the books.
I was never read any of the books?
No, because by the time the Harry Potter books came around, you know, I was more interested in sci-fi, so...
Yeah, I'll give you that. Why. But it was good timing for me.
Did you read them, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I started in third or fourth grade, so it was good timing, and went from there.
Alex?
Yep. I was around the same age for me. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade back then, but actually I began reading the series when the second book was released. After it, I was kind of hooked.
Okay. What about other book series, like the Twilight series? You guys read that?
No.
I wouldn't even go near it.
Okay, just checking.
Yes.
Have to cover all aspects of everything. That's what we're about. Anyways, feel free to join one of these factions. It's really up to you what they do with them, but I don't see this going anywhere because it is ultimately headed up by the JX mods. Each one has a set of JX mods that run it, and then there's certain points obtained for each one. Like if you're in something and your, whatever you want to call it, house, manages to beat one of the other ones, you will get more points. So
do you get... They haven't tied in anything in-game, though, right?
No, nothing in-game. If you join as an individual, you get one point of influence added to your house. Now, if you join as an organization, so you have 10 to 39, you get 1 point, 40 to 99, 2, 300 plus 10, and then stuff in between as well. So,
interesting.
Then there's challenges and stuff that also gives points. But, you know, this is going to be really hard to manage if there's no system to keep track of this because, I don't know.
They'll probably add in stuff, but if it doesn't tie into game at all, I don't see it going very far.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's exactly. And,
yeah. We have a forum topic where you can post it. I did this as kind of just a way to see what everybody thought of this and how many people are actually using it. Right now it only has 5 replies, but... If you are involved in one and you're on our forums and you want to tell everyone which one you're involved in, you might as well post that. Because it doesn't make sense to force everybody on RSPB to join, say, the Lords, when clearly both of you said you would join the Judges and Reavers, respectively. So, anyways. Moving on. This afternoon, there was a Twitter Q&A with Paul, not you, Paul Gower.
Yep. The one with the money. Yep.
Yes. Yes. So I was trying to find out where these were because for some reason my tweety didn't download them, but I'll go through some of them. Let's see what we got here. My rec got briefly expendable. Titan got moved to Fairy Tail Part 3. That's done and dusted now. But the thing is that this is kind of hard to track because, you know, if you use Twitter, you got the at reply, so you have to tab back and forth. There's no easy way to see the conversation going on. So I guess the best thing here would be to head on over to the twitter.com/runescape page and scroll through some of the answers and see what you have for the answers.
One of the questions was, it must have been, if you could play RuneScape at RuneFest, I don't know why you'd want to travel to England and then play RuneScape.
It's the community aspect, you know?
Yeah, but you have to pay, like, what is it, $140 to go over there, plus plane tickets from wherever you're going from, and then you're going to sit at a computer, honestly, and play the game? Really?
Why not?
Well, there's definitely a couple of hardcore fans out there, which will definitely go for it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I just think it's, like, wow.
Just like a big LAN party, you know? Like have at the computer, you know, make everybody put their RuneScape name, like, kind of up high on, like, some stick, you know, so if some person, like, kills you in PvP, you can, like, throw something at them.
Okay, that would be fun. I'd actually go to PvP in that case. Yep.
Got you convinced.
There you go.
But in the coming days, there should be a summary page, they said, on the forums of this, so. Anyways, you guys can read that on your own time. And the poll for this week. Trip the Light Clantastic. Gotta wonder where they come up with these names. Anyways, we'll go through these questions in order. First one I'll take. Are you aware of what a clan is in RuneScape? 94% say yes. 4% I'm not sure, to be honest. And 2% say nope.
That's fairly reasonable.
Yeah. Yep. Next one, Paul.
Question 2. Have you ever been involved in a clan? I sure have, with 81%. I never have, or never have I ever, with 17%, and still not sure what a clan is, dude, with 2%. Probably.
You guys ever involved in clans?
I was never big on the whole PvP aspect, so to be honest, no.
Okay.
I was back in the day, but it wasn't ever a very active experience. We'd go out like on the weekends or something. It'd be a small group, then we'd go PvP or something. Back when that actually was good. Not this new stuff.
I wasn't sure what to put in this because I've been involved in clans in other games, but not specifically RuneScape.
So I think that's what they're going for. But
yeah. So I said I sure have, because I've run one clan before and been members of a few others in other games, so I had to say yes there. But, Alex, question 3.
What do you think best describes the key reason people get involved in clans? Playing with a fixed group of people and just more enjoyable, 29%. The sense of belonging to a group with its own distinct identity, 25%, to make lasting friendships, 13%, playing in the clan with player killing, 10%, playing with the clan helps with skilling, 8%, other 8%, and I don't understand why people join clans, 7%.
Okay, right. Which one did you vote for?
Well, I personally will go for the first choice, playing with a fixed group of people is just more enjoyable, because you actually get attached to the community and just play with the people you enjoy playing the game with. I think that's a logical choice.
Okay. Paul?
I tend to agree. And then back when I was actually in the clan, like I said, I enjoyed going out and PKing. But that was old style with the wild, the wildy and everything, not so much the new stuff.
It still exists.
Yeah, but most of my friends that I would have gone with have either quit or I just don't keep in touch anymore. I could do it again, I know, but I just can't get back into it.
Okay. Now, I think I said other, but I don't remember why I said other, because I know in my past experiences playing with the same fixed group of people had its moments. It was enjoyable at some points, but not always at the other time. The reason I would say other is because there's a... It's more orderly, and it's, like, for what I was involved in, it was more orderly, and you could actually make a difference by being grouped in order rather than just doing whatever each person wanted to do. So there was, like, a clear structure of who was calling the shots and what would happen when. So that's why I said other, for the order of things. Next one. What do you think best describes the key reason someone might be put off from joining a clan? Some people prefer just to play on their own or in small groups, 40%. People find them confusing, complicated clan structure and rules, etc. People think they're difficult to get into, too many entry requirements. People think they might be unwelcoming, 11%. People might not know about everything that a clan has to offer, 10%. Other 6%, and people think there's too much conflict with other clans, 3%.
Right.
I said the unwelcoming option because there are certainly lots of clans that can appear to be unwelcoming the way some of their members act and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
I probably went for the first choice because RuneScape is by itself is a sellable game. I mean, you can do all the quests by yourself, you can do all the skills on yourself. You don't have to rely on other people like you do in other online RPG games like World of Warcraft.
Yep.
Okay.
I tend to agree with that. And along with the second one, if you've ever read through a couple of the... either gone to a clan site and read through their rules or clan guidelines or gone to the recruitment forum on RSBNB and just like look through the requirements there. Some of them are a little complex, at least for somebody just trying to start out. But, yeah.
Okay. Next one, Paul.
If you're in a clan, what's your favorite thing to do with them? The number one thing is I'm not in a clan with 21%. That's wonderful. You think they would like have an option at the beginning, like would if you're in a clan, you vote
like a smart poll,
and then it just would stop.
Would be good.
They can do it. They're smart people, but anyway, chatting in clan chat channels with 20% PVE, which is boss player killing. Or boss monster killing, rather, with 10%. Clan events, parties, house activities with 9%. And skilling in general. And about 20 other things going down from there. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. PvE, Dungeoneering, 2%. 473 votes.
It's pretty new, so I can understand that.
Yeah, probably a lot of people into it, so decided to vote for it.
Scaling agility course, 87.
Well, I guess you could. Maybe?
Yeah.
87 votes, not percent there.
Yeah, 87 votes, that's right.
That makes a lot more sense. I don't know if you said percent. You think you might have said votes. Just
I just said 87.
Just qualifying that one, because... Yeah, I guess if you went to the wilderness, it would be nice to have some people to back you up if revenants come.
Oh yeah. Does anybody notice anything that mobilizing armies isn't on this list?
I think they pretty much put single possible choice on there.
I guess it's an other.
But isn't mobilizing armies supposed to be about strategy? You know, and if you had a clan behind you with mobilizing armies, you could do a 2v2 sort of, and, well, not within the game mechanics, but you could kind of quasi-ally up with someone, you know? Like, I don't know, I personally think mobilizing armies should be on here. And if not, they're really disrespecting that game because it was hyped up so much and it really deserves a little bit of respect for what they made it out to be, and then obviously the complete opposite how it was expected to turn out. So that's why I bring that up.
Righty.
Anyways, yes. Are you turning Australian, Paul? Sounds like it.
No, thank you.
Okay. Alex, last one.
Regarding February's Clan Celebration Month, are there any extra events you'd like to see next time? More skill and events, 25%. I'm not interested in another Clan Celebration Month, 19%. I'm going to participate in Clans, 17%. More events with Jadex mocks who are involved in Clans, 15%. More PvP events, 11%. More player mate events, 10%. And more question and answer session clan related behind the scenes info, 3%.
You know, This last question really sums it up, having that those options 2 and 3 make up a sizable portion there. So
I'm still surprised you had that big amount of people actually voting for the more events with Jadex mocks who involved in clans.
Well,
I mean, just a big popularity contest to me.
Yeah, because if you can get a Jadex mod in your clan, I guess that's saying something, you know? But
yeah.
It's also interesting that skilling events is at the top, because one would think that most of the clans around are PvP-based, not skilling clans, you know?
I think it's probably changing a bit, but I would tend to agree with that, that there's more PvP-based clans than non. But that's
yeah.
What the poll says. At least you could say that there's not necessarily a lot of clans that vote often. There are definitely not nearly as many votes as there should be.
Yeah, that's a good point, because most people I know that I see in-game and the kind who would join a clan don't check the front page of RS before they start playing. They just play. So half of them don't even know when an update comes out, or they wouldn't even know that this poll was up. So that's a good point, Paul. Very good point.
I always hate the people
Anyways.
When you get in game and then they see something, or there was like an update, but they don't bother to go to the homepage to check it out. They just ask other people what's going on. It's like, oh, what's that? You know, it's from that quest that just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. What's the quest? It's like, yeah. Do it yourself, kid. Yeah.
Anyways, that's the poll for this week. Anybody else have anything on this?
No, sir. Nope.
Okay, then. We're going to move right on to the listener questions. I should have given you guys advance notice that this show is being recorded a day earlier, because I did notice that the questions weren't coming in. They were rather coming in as if we were recording on the Friday. So I'm sorry for not giving you advance notice. But anyways, we got an audio question from Defy All Odds, as usual.
Dear host, Defy All Odds here as always, and by now you guys must be getting tired of my boring voice. But my question for this week is, do you guys think the Jadex will ever release, mounting in RuneScape? Mounting meaning riding, types of animals, horses or unicorns or dragons, riding anything type of, you know, basically mounting on him, getting, type stuff like that. Do you think they're ever going to be able to release stuff, or if they did, that they wouldn't, because if they would think there would be more too much like WoW. As always, Defy All Odds out.
Okay, so mounts. What do you guys think?
Well, I personally think there are enough choices in RuneScape in general to allow you to move faster. So I don't think the mounts will actually impact the game in any way. So I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on it. And to the point that Resnet is going to be a World of Warcraft clone, I don't think Jadex has ever to worry about being more like World of Warcraft. They're two completely entire different games. That's just my take on it.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that and brought that up, because ultimately everybody since Dungeoneering came out has thought that Dungeoneering is quite clearly in relation to the way dungeon raiding in World of Warcraft works. So, I'm glad we got that out of the way here from somebody. I assume you played World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I have a level 80 Dwarf Paladin and just a little 74 Blood Elf Warlock. So, I have experience in both games.
Okay. So, first off, tell us how mounts work in World of Warcraft for those who don't know.
Well, pretty much when you reach a certain level, you're allowed to purchase a mount in-game, which allows you to move faster throughout the world. But unlike RuneScape, World of Warcraft doesn't allow you to teleport frequently using your magic skills or any sort of runes of that matter. You can only use teleports in big cities, which allow you to get to other cities quicker. And that's pretty much it. The only class in-game which allows you to teleport to major cities is the Mage. And that's it. So,
okay.
Mount is the primary source of transportation in-game, unlike RuneScape.
With where the teleports are. So then what you're saying is that the mounts wouldn't really be that useful in-game, because we already have the teleport system?
Teleport system is much more commonly used, and it's has just a much bigger scale than it does in World of Warcraft. A lot of players in RuneScape just rely on it. I mean, if you want to teleport to Camelot, you only need is 5 air runes and 1 low rune, and you're going to be there within a matter of seconds. For World of Warcraft, it's not that simple, considering that the world is itself much bigger.
Okay. Yeah, and that's a thing, too, you know, like, if you have the teleports, what's the point in that, aside from a cosmetic point of view, assuming they're going to be moving at the same speed or marginally faster, which would probably unbalance PvP, which I'm guessing is something they don't want to head into at this point in time. Because then there's also the entire game mechanics side of it with the engine, that they'd have to adjust the engine for this again. So I personally can see why they haven't done this. And I don't think that adding mounts to the game would be that useful.
With all the other ways we have to transport ourselves from point A to point B, I don't see how having a mount would be necessary at all. You can teleport using runes. You can teleport using jewelry in some cases. You can teleport using the fairy rings. You can use the log thing in a couple or in one part of the world. You can use random objects for other teleports. I mean, if you can't get to where you want to be within like 3 minutes, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody I forget about, because I was saying I can get anywhere in the RuneScape world in 5 minutes, and it's just not as fun as it used to be, because I remember way back a long, long time ago, I had to walk all the way from Ardoin, which when it was the furthest west you could go, to Varrock, because I didn't have the magic level at the time. I always had to do that for the quest, so...
You could have killed yourself.
Well, no. Only time I do that suicide in order to teleport, in essence, is if I'm somewhere in deep wilderness or a deep dungeon and my home port won't work. So
I tend to make sure I don't have anything on me, then do it. But
Use it
as a secondary backup. That's good.
I use that for penguin hunting in the wilderness.
Yeah, I can see that. I should really go out and do some more of those, by the way. But what's besides the
point? Yeah, they're good. They're good for XP.
Oh, yes, they are.
Anyways.
Enjoy getting those that way.
Thank you, yes, Defilelots. Dear Shane, Paul, and Pinky. We'll just call you Alex for this question.
All right.
When you were younger, did you ever LARP at all? I think most kids do. Paul?
I looked that up just for anyone who isn't aware, and that's live-action roleplay. No, I did not.
No, I did not.
To be honest, I never did either. I haven't even thought about doing it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, we're all on the same page.
Also,
but
for Shane,
I usually have this heart for science fiction and, you know, role-playing fans who definitely love doing it.
Did you ever go join them?
Oh, I wish I didn't.
Okay. Also for Shane, how often should I run my Windows update? Because it seems every time I boot up my computer, there's new updates I need to install. Well, what I do for Windows updates is I just leave the option to notify me, but don't download or install, because I don't like it when they automatically install themselves and I get this little pop-up saying, we need to restart your computer. I will decide when it's time to restart, not Windows Update.
Well, I personally have it enabled to install just the primary updates and the optional updates I install by myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just a little thing, if it's saying you have to do new updates every time you restart your computer, make sure it's not the exact same update every time, because it's possible that you could have an update that's not installing, in which case there's a couple ways to work around it, but just verify that, because that could be an issue.
Oh yeah, when I was running the release candidate before I got the full version of 7, I had this update that broke Windows Update, and it wouldn't download any new updates, and every time I would restart it would keep trying to reinstall this update unsuccessfully, so ultimately I didn't find the problem with that. I just reinstalled 7 when I got the full version.
Usually requires going into finding the file or finding the file location where it downloads to, deleting that particular file or deleting them all, whatever, and then re-downloading and applying it that way. It's kind of a crappy workaround. I don't think there's a more elegant way to do it.
That's the problem with Windows in general. It's just not very elegant compared to like a Unix system, you know? Whereas any update to a Unix system is just files, no installer needed. So that's nice. That's one benefit of a Unix system over a Windows system. Anyways, that question was from Regnanth. Next one, Paul.
Dear hosts, are any of you fans of hockey? If so, who would you like to see the Stanley Cup? From Penn State 315. I kind of like college hockey, but I don't actively go out of my way to pay attention. However, one of my best friends and former roommate would kill me if I didn't say that the Bruins should get the Stanley Cup. So,
they got knocked out.
I believe they did, and he was just slightly mad about that.
Just slightly.
Oh, he had some very interesting tweets slash Facebook update messages.
Just is that Greg?
Caps locked. Yes, that'd be Greg. He's from the he's from Massachusetts, so near Boston. Yeah.
Alex, anything?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a real fan of hockey, but I have keeping an eye on Stanley Cup every year or so. My favorite team so far is New Jersey Devils, which is kind of weird, considering I'm from New York myself, and I don't like a single New York hockey team right now. So,
yeah, you guys have two. You have the Rangers and the Islanders. Yeah. As you guys probably know, I'm in Edmonton Oilers, but I by no means support that team. They are pathetic. They're on a big losing streak ever since 2006, and quite frankly, it's deserved. The fans were over-arrogant, and now they're getting what they deserve. For hockey, I would align myself cheering for Vancouver. They're out, if I had to pick one. But as for who's left in the Stanley Cup race right now, I'd have to go with San Jose. Philadelphia Flyers, there was a kid in elementary school who was rather odd and annoying, and he liked the Philadelphia Flyers, so ever since I've met him, I can't stand the Philadelphia Flyers.
You know how to hold a grudge.
Oh yeah, so this is like since I was like 8 years old, so.
Okay, don't take off Shane.
And I can't cheer for Montreal because that's who my dad cheers for, and quite frankly, he's rather obsessive with that. Apparently, they won 4-1 tonight. I was wrong. I thought they were going to get swept this series. I've been saying they were going to get swept ever since they entered the playoff race because, you know, they entered the playoffs last. So, but anyways, that's hockey.
Indeed.
Anybody else have anything on this?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. That question was from Penn State 315. Alex, you want to take the next one?
All right. Hello, hosts. I'm currently going for 99 cooking as my first 99. I'm currently about 2/3 there. I'm still trying to think what skill I should train after 99 cooking. So could you look at my stats and tell me what I should work on next? I have found it hard to stay focused on one skill to train. I've also gotten from 103 to 109 comeback. Did Desert Treasure and about 20 Cold War trips since I have started cooking. Ha ha ha. So with that, what are some ways you can manage focusing on one skill at once? Well, personally, I don't think there's any easy way going around it. You just got to be extremely stubborn and decide to dedicate yourself to one skill once and not try to get sidetracked by anything else. I think that's the real fastest way you can get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Unfortunately, the RuneScape name in your RSBNB profile isn't looking up right now, so I can't tell you what to train next. So, sorry about that. But, yeah. But I agree with what Alex said. Primarily what I do is I have one big anchor skill that I'm working on, which is fishing right now. Then I'll have, of course, my main skill that is defines who I am, farming. So I'll still try to do farming runs throughout. It's always good to have that kind of variety, you know? Like, the other day, even, I mixed up some herblore potions, about 100 prayer potions. So that's how I keep myself entertained, is I go back to my two favorite skills while working on something else.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Next time, include your RuneScape name in your question, rather than if the one in your profile is out of date. Anyways, thank you. That's a long name. T.S. Zant, proud lieutenant of Tormented Souls Clan.
I think it's just
I don't think
T.S.
we've ever
Zant.
Had it. Yeah, but that's I don't think we've ever had anyone use their full profile before. No, that's what he put in his name.
So. Oh, wherever he wants, I suppose. Be proud, you're in a clan. Alan says he's proud, lieutenant, so what can I say?
Okay, dear hosts, if you had to choose a Jagex mod to monitor the site, who would it be and why? Oh.
Are there any that are particularly lenient? Or just don't care? Because that's what you want.
I don't know.
Not that we have
like
a lot
AJ.
Of bad things going on, just nice to have.
I'd like AJD.
He's on Twitter a lot.
Since he's the one that...
Sure.
Yeah, I know. He's the one that people probably know the most now from Twitter and stuff, so... He seems like a fairly decent person. Even his non-Jagex account he has, so... I'd choose him. What about you guys?
I'm personally not familiar with any Jagex mocks for that matter, so I can't really put my take on this.
Paul, would you want Paul?
The Gower guy? Or a different
yes.
Paul?
Yes, the Gower guy.
Sure, I guess. I don't know, it could be good.
Okay.
Sure.
You know, they should have like a huge list on the RuneScape site under the About section, including the names of all the J-mods for RuneScape.
There'd be a lot of them.
Division.
They've got a lot of Jagex staff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, though, you know?
Jagex has a...
Well, probably like a better way for users to get known to their Jagex mocks a little bit better, trying to connect with the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, they've. That's when things good with the Twitter and then all the forum stuff and stuff recently. So sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They have gotten a lot better with community interlinking and such. I think it's my turn, right? Or no?
No.
Oh, next one.
Do you
Sorry.
Like God Swords? If so, which one and why?
Sarah Doman God Sword. For me.
Okay.
Got one, and it's awesome. Heals me. Makes stuff cheap. Good stuff.
Okay. Alex?
Oh, once again, I don't really think I can get my take on this because I don't play RuneScape anymore, so...
Okay. I'm going to go with Paul on this one then and say Sarah Doman as well, and I don't have one. But I could afford one, but I'm cheap, that's why.
I'm cheap and I still bought one. I won't get into it.
And finally, what is your RS God if you have one and why? Those questions were from Snowskeeper.
Yay.
I don't have one.
Yeah. I don't, like, care too much any particular way. The stat boosting gear, which I think is basically just down to the books, it kind of just depends on the situation, but mainly at Zamorak in that case, but has four supporting one. My house has Guthix in it, I believe, so I guess if that's supporting one, that's the one I support.
Okay. Alex, do you have one? Yay? Nay?
Well, I'm not lenient towards any other ones, but to be honest, I always liked Zamorak. It was kind of their entire like evil aura was kind of appealing to me.
Well, yeah, you were the one that also said you joined the Reavers, so.
Well, yeah, now you see the pattern.
Anyways, thank you, Snowskeeper. Paul?
Dear hosts, I was on Shane's own YouTube channel, which I subscribe to, and I noticed on the 99 Herblore video, Shane used a program to take a screenie, and I was wondering what was used to take it, and if it is available for PC. Many thanks, and keep up the good work from GW95 Monster, formerly MonsterMad05.
Oh yeah, right. I remember on that video, I didn't cut out the frames where I was taking the screenshot.
Yeah.
But no, that's the built-in screen capture utility in OS X. So no, there's no way to get it on the PC.
However, you would recommend?
Oh, on the PC, Z-Screen.
Yeah. That for the non-Canadian Z-Screen.
That's right, that's right. Oh, I didn't even realize I did that.
Thank you, that'd be Stargate Atlantis for the Canadian guy who would always say ZPM, which is CPM.
Anyway. Yeah. Z-Screen, Chief has a pick once a while back, and I think it was Mike. Yeah, it was Mike who initially found it. So we all use that for our screen capturing on Windows.
Right.
You can just Google for it.
Yep.
Next one, Alex.
Dear Shane, Paul, and Mr. Pink, if you could change any three things in the world without conflict, theoretically, what would be and why? Keep up the awesome show, Magnanagan. P.S. You messed up the animal question a few weeks ago. I meant an ability to learn from animals such as flying, extreme smell, etc.
I wouldn't want to smell extremely bad. That'd be terrible.
Well, I mean, there's too many problems in this world, I think, to handle without conflicts. I think it would be an extremely difficult question. But I guess any sort of war going on would be a good choice.
Yeah, okay. Or in the Middle East type areas would be nice to just stop. 1,000 years is, or however long it's been, has been a little far enough, long enough rather.
Yeah, I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't stop that. I wouldn't use it to fix that. No, as I think that if they had an arbitrary fix, fixed, it wouldn't be the same, you know. Because it wouldn't be the same natural progression. I think they have to fight it out, and whoever emerges victorious on top is the winner. Whereas if you just ended it, it would be different.
Key word in this is theoretically. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, three things in the world without conflict. I would make governments on the whole a little bit more accountable, you know, and transparent, but not at the same time of going too transparent to compromise national security. Another thing without conflict would I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's hard to think of three things. If you could change any three, that's
a difficult choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
I mean, I'm just have trouble narrowing down to three.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what are some of your ideas then?
Well, just on top of the head, world hunger has always been, you know, a big problem in countries overseas.
Okay, that's a good one. Maybe another thing would be greed. Somehow eliminate greed, make people take greed pills or something that give them the same feeling of their greed, but they really don't have the greed if they take the pills. What else?
You could probably
maybe
do
answer.
That.
maybe answer the question if there's a god or not?
Hate mail will be coming. Oh.
And find out if there are any alien civilizations out there. Yeah, there we go.
For me, I'd say just crack down on fuel sources, figure out what would be an alternative fuel source like to have worldwide, or at least advance the ones that we already have to be more efficient. I don't know a third one. It's good stuff. I mean, as long as you can get rid of the waste in a economical and environmentally responsible fashion, it's can't really be beat. It's very efficient.
What they should do is they should build rockets and launch the spent fuel rods into space and fly them off into the sun.
I wonder if that would. Well, this is theoretically, it's all good.
But my second
one is put more money into space programs/explorations.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, gonna be a long sci-fi. The sci-fi thing is awesome, but
got to make it a reality.
We haven't really done anything awesome in space since the '60s, which is what the hell? So seriously, we should be. It's very expensive, and the stuff that we've gotten back out of it since then hasn't really, at least as far as I can tell, hasn't done too much on Earth, which is probably why it hasn't been explored further, just due to costs. But, I mean, if we could put a bunch of money into space programs and exploration, we could get off this hunk of rock and go somewhere else.
Yeah, that needs to happen within the next 100 years, you know, because we need a way to blast ourselves away in the event of some big catastrophe, you know? That has to be the next major goal of the human civilization, is to ensure survival.
Yeah, because remember, the Earth will survive no matter what we do to it. The Earth's going to be here. We, however, not so much, necessarily.
No, I was thinking more along the lines of, like, asteroid impacts and whatnot.
Oh, well, in that case, we're kind of screwed, but... Well, currently we're boned. I mean, we've got no way out. But yeah, I mean, if we have
somewhere else to
go, if an asteroid hits the Earth, we're dead.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we need to. How would you feel if you were on board the International Space Station and one of the biggest asteroids hit, and you were part of the only 6 humans left?
I mean, I'd probably go insane.
Yeah, there'd be a couple words going through my head that I'm pretty sure you'd have to bleep out right now, so I'm going to keep those to myself. And, yeah, that would be so terrible. To get back down, there's no way to get off the space station when you're there, right? There's nothing up there to... There's no, like, pods.
They have a docked escape pod that can be
that. But it just shoots you off into space. You couldn't. Could you re-enter with that?
Oh, no, it can deorbit. It can deorbit.
Okay.
Will it have any sources on it?
Will it have any what?
Any sources, any food whatsoever? I mean, anything?
Well, no, it's a quick deorbit into Earth. Within an hour, you'd be down once you enter the escape pod.
So you'll definitely be dead within days.
Would it be, do you know if that has, can you guide that? Can you land it, or is it like an ocean type thing?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing it's probably a land-based one, because I know it was part of what the Russians built for the space station, so it probably uses a touchdown mechanism similar to Soyuz capsules.
If it's not a land-based solution, you're dead anyway.
No, it has parachutes and stuff.
I know, but I mean... If you're going to be landing in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to be safe, you're boned. You're dead. You're same in space station as not. It's just where you die. That's the difference. Just saying. I mean, if this catastrophe happens, those guys are just as boned as we are.
Anyways, I think that's enough on Magnificon's question. Right, Paul, next one.
Dear Shane, Paul, and Pinky, I was just browsing some RuneScape fan sites and I found this link, which I removed. It has all the models for dungeoneering, items, and bosses for RuneScape private servers. I myself do not play RSPSs, but I have one question. It seems that most companies keep their data files rights protected or hidden as to protect from code thieves. After looking at my Jagex cache folder, everything I would need to make my own RuneScape is in there, with absolutely no security. For Jagex, this seems quite stupid, especially with their amount of programmers. If Jagex takes so much effort to crack down on these private servers, why would they allow for this stupid loophole?
I should take this one, as it's sort of relating to my realm. First off, you're only getting half the solution needed. You're only getting the client-side data. There's still an entire server-side left that does all the crunching and everything, keeps track of all the players and whatnot. And that's probably the bigger component compared to the client, because if you think about it, the client downloads remarkably fast, meaning that everything in there is compressed and probably minimalistic into what's requested from the server. Because, you know, when you first load RuneScape up on a new computer, every time you hit into a new area, it takes a little while to load because you're downloading everything in that area, all the custom textures and models and whatnot. So, really, it's only half the solution, and it might seem a little stupid to include all these things here, but if they were stored encrypted, they'd just be adding another layer of time in order to decrypt them as needed. So I can see why they're not, but...
And as a secondary to that, if you DRM this, because that's basically what they'd be doing is, you know, if you encrypt it, someone's going to figure out a way to get around the encryption.
Oh, yeah.
That's the great thing about DRM, is that as much as people or as much as companies like to use it, pirates and people who generally don't want it will get rid of it without trouble. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's not worth their time to even bother. At least that's my little take on that. Secondly, did you see that No Lifer Ohai is now a player moderator? Took him long enough. Woo the beast. And also, for these links that you've been putting in, don't. Just... you should know those.
Yeah, they're against the RSPNB rules and against the RuneScape rules, so... shh.
Yeah. Yes.
No, we didn't see he was a player moderator. So...
Who is that, know, the 100 Dungeoneering
guy?
The first
got 99 Dungeoneering, yes.
If he's a nice guy, I guess, then... good on him. If not? I doubt that it was a PR move. Jagex tends to not do that.
Yeah. But. Like, remember a while back they had a thing where people could send in requests to have their account looked at to be player moderators? Given that they went to that level of letting people suggest themselves for a player moderator, I don't think it would be PR, as Paul said. So.
When was that? That must have been a really long time ago.
I don't know, like last year sometime.
Really? It was that recent?
Yeah.
I totally
missed
that.
And he currently has 103 Dungeoneering.
Well, that no-lifer part of his name, totally true.
Ah, yes.
Oh, hi.
Okay. That's all we got on that one, I think. Dear Shane, Paul, and Mr. Pink. Oh, did you have something on that?
No.
Okay. Dear Shane, Paul, and Mr. Pink, what are your opinions of biracial marriages?
Relationships.
Marriages.
Yeah, good. If it works, go for it. Don't really particularly care.
Yeah,
well, myself,
why
don't
are you
see
asking...
a big deal in this.
Yeah. It is 2010, and the Americans have their first African American president, so
I mean,
see how that would be a problem.
It might have been controversial 50 or 60 years ago, but in today's society, it's just the least of our concerns.
Yeah,
if you're worried about relationships, biracial relationships at this point, wow, you've got way too much time in your hands.
I think that ultimately, as long as it's progressing the human genome in a good fashion, it's perfectly fine.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look back, even that's what in World War II, Hitler he wanted to exile all the African Americans back to Africa and much worse things. So I think as a whole we've moved beyond that. Mm-hmm. Next one. What are your jobs now and what are your dream jobs? Stay frosty, Lord Steemo.
I'm currently jobless. Boo. Dream job? Not sure. Yet.
You're going to be a sanitation engineer.
I hope to God not. That would be a really shitty
job. Well, then why are you taking courses involving that?
Because it's part of the major.
Okay. Alex?
Well, early, also unemployed, and considering my dream job, I mean, even I had a chance to pick any job right now, I don't know, I would personally go for a movie director. That would be kind
that'd
of a
nice,
nice job to have.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be quite nice, actually. Get a kind
well,
of
since we're talking just, about a dream job, I mean, not a realistic job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be, that's a good point. Or if I could, like, somehow work at Google. I don't know what I'd do. Just work at Google. They've got awesome benefits. You can be a freaking janitor there. And you have an awesome life. If you work at Google at all. Just, I mean, go online if you haven't seen Google's offices or their benefits yet. Just Google that stuff. And you'll be amazed at what Google has to offer. Just outrageous.
Yeah, I'm gonna join the club here and say that I'm also jobless as well. I think that comes with the student territory. But as for dream job, I really don't know. You know, it's hard to say really because I'm just really not sure what a dream job would be. I don't know. It'd be interesting to work on, like, the next version of Windows or OS X or something, but that's sort of against what I like doing. I don't particularly see myself working in a big, big company, you know? I see myself going off and eventually, at some point down the line, starting my own. So, yeah. But dream job? I'd like to go to Mars.
Like to go to Mars?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Not currently.
Why not?
There's
I think it would be
there.
So interesting. I know, but it would be interesting to be one of the first pioneers to go there and start setting up for in the next 100 years or so what could become a permanent presence, you know? It would be just like when the Europeans first came to North America. I'd like to do that.
They
kind
had
of thing.
Women.
So
Shane can take some woman with him to Mars.
Willingly.
Problem solved.
No.
Oh,
I don't
that.
See that
no,
as a problem,
willingly.
Paul.
You don't see how bringing a woman willingly is a problem. Okay, just.
No. Hard, I mean, right? I mean, I don't see why that's a requirement to, why it's a requirement for you to have women.
It's not a requirement, it just is nice. If I'm going to be up there alone,
okay.
I'm going to be freaking insane. I'm sorry, I like being alone, but not that alone. That is isolationism to an extreme extent.
Really? Okay, if you say so, but I think I prefer that.
Okay. Some people can do it. I like being alone, just not that alone.
Six people on an entire planet going to Mars. That's just.
What if you hate
that
the
would
other
be something
five?
I'd strive for.
Or
well,
the
no,
other
there'd
five
be like psychological.
You.
Well, that's too bad then.
It's
I guess
stuff.
One dies in mid-space or something, but...
That would make a good sitcom show.
I don't think... Yeah, it would. There was actually something already called that, called Defying Gravity. It was a sitcom in space. Did you watch that one, Paul?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Was it like on a space station type thing, or...?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was. So.
Curious.
Google it. Anyways, thank you, Lord Steemo. Paul, your motives are questionable, as always.
What can I say? I'm me.
Moving on to tech news. Facebook to launch simplistic privacy choices soon. Paul, you're on Facebook. Alex, are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I have an account there.
Well, okay. I'm not on Facebook, so Paul's going to read this.
Joy. You just read the title. Reacting to the latest privacy backlash, Facebook will be rolling out new simplistic privacy options for its users in the coming weeks, according to Facebook head of public policy, Tim Sparperini. Nice public name. Now we've heard from our users that we have gotten a little bit complex. This guy said in a radio interview Tuesday, I think we are going to work on that. We are going to be providing options for users who want simplistic bands of privacy that they can choose from. And I think we will see that in the next couple of weeks. That is good, I suppose.
This is all relating to the Facebook privacy concerns, right? The things made public that people wouldn't exactly want public, you know?
Oh, yeah. There has been a huge controversy over that. I mean, for example, even if you delete your Facebook account, some of the information from your account can still be available for view to other companies.
Not only can it be... It's not deleted from their servers, and... your information still gets used, but even if you like block all your information first, Facebook still has it. It's on their servers. They don't get rid of it. There are third-party tools that allow you to, that have been coming out within the last couple of weeks, that quickly check your profile for privacy issues. And I would strongly recommend running one of those if you have anything on Facebook that you don't want other people to see. Even minor things. Like if you have something that you don't mind anyone seeing, but then you want to get a job someday, you might want to hide it. Just because it's probably... I mean, not necessarily that you have anything bad, but if you have something, then people can look at that. And if you don't have anything visible, you can't be judged. So, I mean, I've got my Facebook thing locked down to a T. You can't see anything about me. I think you can see my profile picture, maybe, and that I'm a guy. Other than that, not much. Miss your friend.
Are you a bald guy?
A bald guy? No, I've got a nice full head of hair.
Okay.
I mean, I personally think that I don't have to make it simplistic. I mean, if you really care about your privacy settings on Facebook, you should at least dedicate some of your time to actually go through it and see what information you want people to see and not. I mean, it shouldn't matter if it's simplistic or not. That's all.
Yeah, it should, actually, because Facebook is a software company, and it's an old style of thinking that it should just be done the way they want it, but really they should be considering the user first in terms of this, you know?
Yes.
And... Yeah. Ultimately, I think it's my personal software design philosophy is the KISS rule. Keep it simple, stupid. Anything I write, I will attempt to follow that rule as much as possible. I will try to keep it as simple as I can, but which they should be doing.
Yep, and it's
when
Facebook was started, or at least initially when it was available to the public, it was only available to a person who had a .edu email address, which basically limits it to United States schools. Since it's been opened up to anyone, the privacy options, it's gone from being something that only your friends can see when you're at college or high school sometimes, to something that your grandmother could see if they wanted to. And the privacy aspect has gone from almost nobody to virtually anybody. And jobs. That's like one of the major things that you have to think about. Even if you're in middle school now, for example, if you're on Facebook and you post anything, or if you're on the internet and you post anything and it can somehow be tied back to your name, it will be tied back to your name. And it's there probably, you know, if it's on the internet, it's there. And if you post something ever that shouldn't be on the, that you don't want someone to associate with your name, it's going to come back to bite you at some point.
Yeah, Paul, I can't find you on Facebook.
That's the way I want it. I was going to, here we go. The Mark Zuckerberg, have you seen what he said in IM about Facebook users?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Someone asked him if they had, if they knew somebody from Harvard, I believe it was. And he says, yes, I have her AIM address. And I have another 9,000 more if you want them. And he's, and then the person's he was talking to says, oh, how do you get all that? And he said, the stupid gave it to me. This is the guy who runs the company that you trust your data with. He thinks we're all stupid. Don't prove him right.
Yeah, he pretty much blames the user for giving that sort of information to him.
Yeah. You're giving all your private information, your phone number, your address, your email address, your likes, dislikes, everything that you could, that a company would like to know about you, you're giving to the, to somebody who can access it. It's not encrypted. It's not something he has to get your permission to get to. Just be aware of that.
I'm glad I'm on Facebook.
You're not on
Not on Facebook.
You're on Facebook and you just let that slip. Just letting that out there. She ain't on Facebook.
No. No, the only one I have is Twitter, which is perfectly fine for me. I really like the simplicity of it.
Yes.
Anyways. That's that. In more happy news, YouTube has turned 5 this past week.
Yay!
They save. 5 years ago, after months of late nights, testing, and preparations, YouTube founders launched the first beta version of YouTube.com in May with the simple mission: give anyone a piece to upload their videos and share them with the world. Whether you're an aspiring filmmaker, a politician, a proud parent, or someone who just wanted to connect with something bigger, YouTube became the place where you could broadcast yourself.
Or watch Nut Shots, you know, whatever.
Yes. Or watch Justin Bieber.
No, thank you. Ever. Although I did watch video of him screwing up the German thing, but...
Oh, where he did all the more German words.
Yeah, what's German? We don't use that in America.
You
don't want
to... I respect him for the fact that he came from nothing, used YouTube, and has become what he's become, so... I think that it's good for him and ultimately good for YouTube as a kind of social media outlet. So there's that. But, you know, it's so funny that all these things like YouTube, Twitter, Facebook were all around like 5 years ago, but nobody used them except for the technical kind of people, you know, but now everybody uses them, which is really quite amazing. So I don't think the world would be the same without YouTube, so definitely a good thing that happened 5 years ago. Next little thing I wanted to share with everyone, kind of interesting. The Google vans roving around the countries gathering Street View data have been collecting Wi-Fi data from opened Wi-Fi access points.
I don't think so. This came out only from open, which is
It's only good. From open ones. So, and it's really not that big of a deal because it changes the Google vans changed frequency every 5 seconds. So, the amount of data you could get in that time would be very small compared
and
to.
And I
you
believe they have
get, like,
deleted
huge
it since
list of,
now, right?
Yeah,
since
they have.
The story. Yep.
Well,
they've deleted it.
I mean, if it was done purely accidental, I don't think it should be a big problem.
Yeah, it was accidental, because the code that was doing it wasn't initially intended to be included in the Street View software. So, yeah.
What
but,
were you saying?
It would
about
be...
What about what did they do with the data? You said...
They segmented it on their network, so that's not accessible, and they're working to delete it.
Okay.
So it's still there, but it's just not accessible.
It was 600 terabytes of data.
Yeah.
How do you not notice that till now?
I don't know.
That's a lot. But anyway, sorry.
I'd like to see it, you know, because it would be interesting to see what kind of data was gathered throughout different types of regions, you know. Like, personally, when I first read this story, I didn't think it could be an error. I thought it was something they were just doing anonymously, you know, to kind of make a map of the world where the most wireless access points are and everything, and then wherever they're missing, they could eventually roll out the Google Internet thing. But that'd be interesting.
You could, yeah, with TISP.
TISP?
Wait, TISP. Remember, it was...
What's TISP?
2007, I think. Toilet Internet Service Provider, I believe it was. It was Google's free internet. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's
right.
That was so tempting. Yes.
Yeah, but not to worry. All this wireless data didn't have anything compromising. Well, it might have if you were writing something bad, but as we now know, it's been segmented. So.
And if you were concerned at all about this, and you're using a wireless internet, and it's not encrypted, you should kind of just encrypt it and be done. Yeah, there's no reason to have unencrypted. But
I use a 64-character WPA password with my encryption.
I'm in the middle of nowhere. I use I thought I could only use WPA, but I can use WPA too. Anyway, I'm on WPA. I think it's like a 15-16 character thing. It's not overly complex, but I'm not too concerned. We're in the middle of nowhere. Come in my house. Yeah,
this is just a little reminder to everybody to check, make sure your networks are encrypted, and take steps to encrypt them if they aren't. That's all.
If you care.
Yeah, you should care.
Anyway. What was the country that recently passed the law where you had to have an encrypted wireless access point?
I have no idea.
It was somewhere in Europe.
No idea.
But they passed a law where you will get a fine if you have an unencrypted wireless internet or wireless access point. So you can no longer use the excuse, it wasn't me. Sorry. At any rate.
So if you're not the network person in your house, just ask them if it's encrypted, and if it's not, that they should encrypt it. Anyways, that's it for tech news. Anybody have anything else on these?
Nope.
Codecs are good, but anyway.
Late May events. We got some events coming up at the end of the month. Three of them. First one is Skiller of the Day, 24 skills in 24 hours. Basically, a micro skill of the month challenge in which you will compete in 24 skill of the hours, each one different, and the person who wins the most will be crowned the overall winner. Later in that day, we're having an RSBNB Clan Wars event, so you can beat up on your fellow RSBNB people there. I should be there, I hope. Then the following day is a group Barrows hunt, in which we'll traverse the Barrows dungeon together, everybody. So, and of course, let's also not forget that every Friday Boss Brawl runs. So next Friday you can head on over to the forums and vote in the topic, and then go to Leo's event.
And every Monday,
of course, you can't forget Paul. Every Monday. Yeah.
Every Monday is PC Gaming Night, and for the next, I think I've still got 3 codes left, for the Humble Indie Bundle, for the next 3 weeks, I will be passing out a Humble Indie Bundle code, which is, you can look that up, but I've got them licensed and paid for, so come to the event and be a winner.
The Humble Indie Bundle.
This week, we've currently got 8 votes for Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, and 4... for Counter-Strike Source, just a guess, but by the time you listen to this, it's probably going to be Half-Life 2 Deathmatch, which, if you read the topic, it's free. Come and join. It's awesome stuff.
You it is.
Help. You can kill Shane and myself and everyone else. Or be killed, you know. Or have your killed.
Yeah, one of the two. Or commit suicide.
Yeah, I've done that more than once.
Always works.
Yes.
Do you have Steam, Alex?
Yeah, I'm actually a frequent player on Team Fortress 2.
Yep.
Okay. What about Half-Life 2? You want to come?
Half-Life 2 Deathmatch. I don't believe it. I have it installed yet, but I might be able to make it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, you can get it for free. Anybody who has an ATR NVIDIA card can get it for free. That's why that game is our most popular one.
Yeah, just so sad that I only see one little vote for Team Fortress 2 out there in the poll.
That's the thing.
The events don't tend to work out so well, so it's probably a better thing that it doesn't get voted for. It's an awesome game, don't get me wrong. I love Team Fortress 2. It just doesn't tend to work out so well.
I like the game too, except the thing is, it always ends up being like Left 4 Dead. You're always Left 4 Dead, you know? No team.
Solo Fortress 2. Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Anyways, time for May Skill of the Month. Currently, of course, Dungeoneering, as last month Dungeoneering was released. X-Blades is still winning, unsurprisingly, with 2.9 million XP, followed by Tim with 1.1 million XP, and then Schwa at 773k.
Wow.
Next week, we announce the new Skill of the Month for June, so be sure to stay tuned for that. And by the time this comes out, you should be seeing a nice-looking Skill of the Month page. I've been working on that, making it very pretty compared to what we have now. So,
I concur.
It's something I'm proud of. Yeah, I showed you. So
I saw a sneak peek, and it's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, it also has a little bit more information on it too, what people wanted and stuff. But it's at the core, it's still Skill of the Month. So, Skill of the Month.
Yes.
Mr. Pink, pick time. Pick of the week.
My weekly pick goes to Red Dead Redemption. The game recently came out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. I recently got it this Tuesday, and to be honest, I have been loving the game so far. It's hard to call it GTA in a typical Western, because it adds like a new formula and a spin on the franchise in general. I mean, frankly, the game is much better than the original, which came out on the Xbox and PlayStation 2 last generation, I believe. But the game pretty much follows the story of your typical cowboy who came back into Wild West, hired by the government. I won't try to spoil all of the plot, in order to kill one of his previous game members who he used to run with. I mean, just pretty much he grabs you by the start and never lets go. Fun game?
Okay.
Looks like an awesome
game.
So
then it's an action first-person shooter game then?
Oh yeah, it's... pretty much, but not all missions are shooting based wise. Some of them is more escort, racing type. I mean, it's just like pretty much the sort of thing you got used to from the GTA franchise. I mean, if you played any GTA games, you feel right at home playing Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. That's good. And can we expect an Informer article on this?
Oh, yes, definitely. As soon as I'm going to be done with the game, I'm going to begin writing a review of the game up.
Yay!
That's good. And that's at informer.rsvmb.com, where you can find Mr. Pink, Paul, and myself. This is the Informer edition of RSVMB Update.
Indeed.
So, right. Paul, what you been doing this week?
A lot of outside stuff. Tomorrow I head with Greg. He's going to come up from Massachusetts, and we're going to go to help his girlfriend move out. And then Saturday and Sunday night, my birthday is the 23rd, so legal drinking age. I'm going to have a nice, fun time.
Oh, dear.
And,
no.
Yeah, and...
behave. Behave.
Of course. And just a little tidbit, Leah, my girlfriend, says hi from Illinois. That was supposed to be a long time ago, but I'm just saying it now. Now I can say I've said it, so...
Oh, she's from Illinois.
Yep.
What part?
Somewhere near Chicago.
Northern?
Where's Chicago? Okay. I don't know. Somewhere near Chicago.
Yeah, you should know that. You're an American. Suburb, you're supposed to know your geography.
Okay. I used to, and then I kind of, yes. And then what I should be doing, at least in RuneScape, is getting an Iron Slayer, because I've been 450k away for the last, like, 3 months. However, it's not entertaining as much as I'd like it to be.
It also looks like you've been mowing grass, vacuuming the pool multiple times.
Lots of that.
Writing a tech article for us.
Did that. Yay. Go standards compliance and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, okay, so Internet Explorer 9 looking to be a pretty decent browser, at least technically speaking.
That's
not going to be any games. I don't think anyone's going to switch back. Just it's nice to know that the people who are staying on IE are going to have something a heck of a lot better than anything that's been out so far.
I wonder if I'll be able to recommend it again.
I don't know. It standards compliance wise, it's looking to be pretty good. Memory usage couldn't tell you. Didn't use multiple tabs, but the rendering engine and everything seems to be pretty decent, at least especially compared to Internet Explorer 8 and below. Makes them look even more pitiful, which is really hard to do because they're already pretty far down on the list. At any rate, that's what I've been doing.
As for me, fishing on RuneScape and coding our little skill of the month thing that I was just mentioning, so you should be seeing that fairly soonish, if it's not up by the time you're hearing this, because there's multiple aspects of it, and you want to get it right before you put it all out and everything. So, yeah. That's it. Nothing really that interesting to report on, so.
Yes, what Alex has been doing.
Well, besides playing Red Dead Redemption like a lunatic for the last couple of days, I recently took the University of New York test to be admitted into college next year. So besides that, it's been same old.
Yeah, you New Yorkers have to take that test.
Well, there's a line of city colleges in New York which actual tuition only costs $5,000 a year, which is a lot cheaper than for private colleges.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, I love that.
You pretty much applied from a typical school, but you have to take a test to get in, pretty much go in there. Hopefully, I'll see myself going there next year.
Yay!
That's major good. What do you want to take?
I'm going to plan to major in business administration. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Good. Anything else?
Pretty much same old.
Okay, that's good then. Well, let's try this again. Anybody have any amendments to what they've been doing?
Not really.
Okay, then. RSBNB update 257 is done for Mr. Pink, Alex, and Paul, PFK99s. We will see you guys back next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.